I have some bad news for you today. We, and I include myself in the we are all fools. We're all fools. We don't like to hear that, do we? No one likes to be called a fool. But why? Well, we are all fools in that we think we can run away from God. We think that we can run away from God's will, from God's word, and from God's purposes for us. We're foolish because we think that we can actually do this, that we can actually successfully run away from God and escape any form of consequence for having run away from God. As I said, nobody likes to be called a fool, but sometimes we need to hear the truth. And we need to hear it honestly and bluntly. And the reality is that all of us in some way this morning are running away from God. Perhaps as I say that, you know immediately in what area of your own life you are running away from God. And perhaps for some of you, you need to closely examine your life and discern, well, where is it that I am running away from God? Now, Jonah provides the quintessential example of someone running away from God. Jonah does it in spectacular fashion. He is not subtle in how he runs away from God. He is deliberate. He plans it. It's a calculated move. By no means accidental or unintentional. This morning, I want us to examine Jonah and consider three aspects. Firstly, the foolishness of running away from God. Secondly, the inescapable consequences of running away from God. And then thirdly, what is the way back to God when we have been running away from Him? Well, as I've said, what makes Jonah the poster boy for running away from God is just how deliberate and clear it is. The book of Jonah starts off with God very clearly speaking to Jonah and telling Jonah exactly what he wants Jonah to do. Look with me at the first two verses. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me." Now, all of us wish that we would have an occasion in our lives where God would speak so clearly and definitively to us so as to tell us exactly what He wants us to do. Over the years of pastoral ministry, I have lost count of the amount of times that people at church have come up to me and said to me, "Pastor, I wish God would just clearly tell me what to do. I wish God would just speak to me and tell me what He wants me to do. And if He told me, if He spoke to me, I would do it." Now, on certain occasions, depending on the person and the situation, I point them to Jonah. Say, such is the sinfulness of the human heart, that even when God speaks to us directly and unmistakably, tells us exactly what He wants us to do, such is the sinfulness of our hearts, we will find a way of not doing it. We will look for a loophole, for an escape clause. We will find a way of disobeying even the most direct instruction from God Himself. And here is where we see the first area, the first aspect of the foolishness of running away from God. And that is the fact that we are all prone to do it. Every single one of us. Think for a moment who Jonah was. Jonah was a prophet. He was a full-time prophet. It was the calling and the work of his life. This is not the only time we actually read of Jonah in the Bible. If you look in 2 Kings chapter 14, we read the following from verse 23 through 25. In the 15th year of Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah, Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, began to reign in Samaria, and he reigned 41 years. And he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. He did not depart from all the sins of this Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, which he made Israel to sin. He restored the border from Israel to Lebo Hamath as far as the Sea of the Arabah, according to the word of the Lord, the God of Israel, which he spoke by his servant Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet, who was from Gath Hepher. So he was known as a prophet in Israel. He was a man whose job it was to bring God's word to the people of Israel over an extended period of time. Now, we typically regard the Old Testament prophets as great men of God, men whose lives were characterized by their godliness and their unwavering obedience to God. I mean, remember what these men had to do so often. They had to stand in front of the most powerful men in their nation. They had to stand before kings, some of whom were ruthless. And they had to rebuke those kings to their very faces. It was not easy to be an Old Testament prophet. It demanded faithfulness to God and courage, relying completely upon God to sustain their lives because the king might not like the message and the king might give the order to have them killed, as did happen with some of the prophets. It demanded an unwavering obedience of God. That's how we think of these prophets. And yet here we have Jonah, who fits in that category of Old Testament prophet, receiving this clear, direct message from God, and he responds by running away from God. Jonah's actions should alert us to the fact that none of us are immune from the folly of running away from God. We may think, you know what, I've got all my theology sorted out. I know my Bible well. I'm generally speaking a good, obedient, faithful Christian who has a reasonably healthy and strong relationship with God, to the point that I know that if God were, through his word or by his spirit, to speak to me through his word or guide me by his spirit to do a particular thing, I would respond in obedience. That's what we may think. But all of that does not make us immune. None of that makes us safe. Jonah ran away from God in spectacular fashion. Samson, his life is a sad story of running away from God. David, a man after God's own heart, ran away from the clear instruction of God. And think about the history of Israel, as recorded for us in the Old Testament. It is a constant, sad, and tragic story of how a nation constantly ran away from God. Time and time. We are foolish to think that we are immune, that we are different or better from those who have run away from God in the past. Of course, that is the deceitful nature of sin. It seeks to comfort us that we are safe from a particular sin. No, that will never happen to me, is what we like to say to ourselves. But we need to constantly evaluate and examine our lives and ask, how, where am I running away from the word or the will or the work of God in my life? We are not immune to it. Secondly, such is the degree of foolishness involved in running away from God that we think we can actually do it, that we can pull it off. What does Jonah do after hearing God's very clear instruction? Well, verse 3 tells us, and notice the emphasis in this verse. But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish. From the presence of the Lord, he went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. Three times we're told where Jonah is going, and twice we're told why Jonah is going there. He's going to Tarshish. He's going to Tarshish. He's going to Tarshish. Jonah's really going to Tarshish. Why is he going to Tarshish? Because he really wants to get away from the presence of the Lord. Jonah believed that he could run away from God, that he could actually pull it off. Let's believe that Tarshish is as far as Jonah could go by ship from that port in Joppa. Those of you who don't know where Tarshish is, It's believed that it's on the coast of Spain. You go past Gibraltar. You go past Gibraltar, and you will come to Tarshish. So that's a long way away from Nineveh. Well, how do we know that Jonah thought he could successfully run away from obeying God's clear instruction? Well, consider, what is it that Jonah does once he boards the ship? We're told he goes and finds a place to lie down and falls asleep. Now, granted, a person can sleep even when they are under great stress or extremely worried, but I think we're told that to help us understand that Jonah was comfortable with his choice, with the decision he had made, believing this was the better, this was the justifiable response, and therefore he could be at rest, he could relax, he could be at ease, that he could enjoy his cruise along the Mediterranean to Tarshish, and therefore successfully get out of doing what God had asked him to do. I mean, you can't talk to the people of Nineveh when you're in Tarshish. And by the time he gets back from Tarshish, well, the 40-day time limit would have expired and God would have destroyed Nineveh. It's a win-win as far as Jonah's concerned. He cannot see the sheer folly of his decision. He believes he can actually pull it off. Now, it's so easy for us to see Jonah's foolishness, isn't it? Say, Jonah, you're a fool. How do you ever think you could pull this off? But it's so often less obvious in our own lives. One of the things that sin seeks to do in its deceitfulness is it seeks to achieve within us a level of comfort with our sinful choices, to the point that we are able to even convince ourselves that this is the reasonable course of action, that this is the better decision. It creates within us a long list of arguments in its favor, that it's justified, or tries to convince us that our sinful response is so small, so harmless, so insignificant, that it will not result in any real response from God. We become fools for thinking that we can actually run away from God. And when we do run away from Him, from His Word, from His will, from the working of His Spirit within us, we're quick to justify it and even become comfortable with it. Thirdly, we see the foolishness of running away from God even when the consequences become apparent. We're slow to acknowledge our guilt or take responsibility. Now, Jonah does own up to be the cause of the storm, but he only does so when it's clearly revealed that he is the cause of the storm. I can only imagine that as they were casting lots, Jonah was hoping that the lot would not fall to him. That would fall on somebody else, and somebody else would get the blame, and he would escape. No questions would be directed towards him as to why this storm has come about. Perhaps Jonah thought, this is just a storm. It happens when you're at sea. You know, who says it's my fault? The storm will pass, everything will be okay, and I will escape with what I have done. Well, Jonah is confronted and finally does own up. But again, we see the deceitfulness of sin, and that it fools us into thinking that we can not only commit that sin and not only give justifiable reasons for committing it, but then we also don't need to take responsibility for our actions when the consequences become obvious. We are all at risk. We're all prone to run away from God, especially when He calls us to do something which we are uncomfortable doing, when He asks us to do something that we're not willing to do. And we're not just at risk of this folly, but in our folly, we think we can do it. We think we can run away. We think that we can escape the consequences. And that leads us into the second aspect, the consequences of running away from God. And in the book of Jonah, we see the profound consequences that it has. Jonah, having finally confessed his guilt, tells the sailors there is only one solution. If they wish to preserve their lives and survive the storm, they need to throw him overboard. He's saying, you need to sentence me to death by drowning. They're a significant distance from shore. The sea is raging. Throwing a man overboard in such circumstances is to condemn him to death. Now, credit to the sailors. They don't wish to see Jonah perish. And in fact, they show themselves to be more merciful than Jonah. Jonah would happily see the whole city of Nineveh perish under God's condemnation. And yet these sailors do not want to condemn Jonah. These are pagan, idolatrous men. And yet they seek to show mercy to a guilty man. Well, it soon becomes apparent that that is indeed the only option, to do what Jonah says. And so reluctantly, they consent and they throw Jonah overboard. And Jonah begins to plunge to the bottom of the ocean. And well, we read his prayer in chapter 2, and it's clear that Jonah believed he was going to die. He speaks of how the waters closed in over him to take his life, that his life was fainting away from him. And of course, he realizes that he needs to prepare himself for what is to come, the judgment of God. Now, it's important for us to note that the consequences of Jonah's foolishness and sin is not just felt by Jonah. Jonah's decision to run away from God has far-reaching consequences. He is that proverbial stone that is thrown into the middle of a calm pond. He makes the biggest splash, and yes, he sinks to the bottom. He's the one that feels the greatest consequence, but the whole pond is disturbed by the stone. By running away from God, Jonah not only put his life at jeopardy, he also placed the lives of the sailors and all the people in Nineveh in jeopardy. Think of the sailors. Told that they feared for their very lives. And we need to remember that these were experienced sailors. And sailing in those days was an occupation fraught with danger. This was not their first storm. These were sea-hardened men. And yet all of their skill, all of their expertise, all of their experience had failed them. And so they end up praying to any and every God, because they come to the conclusion that if there isn't some means of divine intervention from some or other God, they're going to perish. Jonah places all of their lives in jeopardy. Furthermore, Jonah's choice to run away from God's word essentially condemns the people of Nineveh. Now, we know God could send somebody else. God does not need Jonah to accomplish his purpose for the people of Nineveh. But that doesn't absolve Jonah of his guilt. Jonah reveals his thinking in chapter 4, and it's quite frightening. Listen to what Jonah says. Chapter 4, verse 2, and he prayed to the Lord, "Lord, is not this what I said when I was yet in my country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish." Listen to the reason Jonah gives as to why he ran away. "For I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster." Consider what Jonah is saying. The absolute folly of it. He is essentially saying to God, "Do you want to know why I ran away? Do you want to know why I wanted to go to Tarshish? I ran away because I knew that if I went to Nineveh and I spoke to them and they responded by humbling themselves and repenting, I knew that you would then be good and gracious and kind and merciful and loving and spare their lives. I ran away because I didn't want you to be gracious and merciful and loving. I ran away because I wanted to see the people of Nineveh be destroyed." Think of how absolutely horrifying and foolish. Jonah would rather be disobedient to God and see a whole city of people perish than obey God and see a whole city saved. The consequences of Jonah's actions condemn. Our decision to run away from God will always have consequences. It will have consequences for us, and it will have consequences for those around us. Sin always, without an exception, comes at a cost. My choice to run away from God and His Word will have a negative impact on my relationship with God and my relationship with those around me. Our choice to run away from God will have consequences. And we're foolish to think that we can escape them. Scripture is clear on that fact. Where there is disobedience, God's discipline will be present. We cannot run away from God. And we cannot escape the consequences of our choices to run. So what then is the way back? What is the way back? Is there a way back for those who run away? For those who are deliberately, even defiantly disobedient? Well, as we see so wonderfully demonstrated in Jonah, there is a way back for those who run away, even deliberately. There is a way back for prodigal children. It is possible for fools to become wise. As Jonah so rightly pointed out, as we read in chapter 4, God is gracious, merciful, steadfast in love. And despite Jonah's sin, God has mercy upon him. In fact, God has mercy upon Jonah before Jonah even calls out for mercy. We see God's mercy demonstrated in two ways. Firstly, He does not allow Jonah to run away. And secondly, by means of divine intervention, He caused that big fish to swallow Jonah. Now we need to remember, Jonah had no knowledge of God's purpose and plan in this regard. In fact, if I'm perfectly honest, if I was in Jonah's shoes, I would think that the situation had gone from bad to worse. I don't know about you, but I would far rather drowned than be slowly digested in the stomach of a fish. But we need to get rid of that Sunday school image that we may have of Jonah and the fish. I remember when I was in Sunday school, we were given a picture to color in of Jonah sitting inside the belly of the fish, and he was sitting on some kind of island and he had made himself a little campfire. No, that's not at all what Jonah had. It would have been pitch dark. It would have stank. Sploshing around inside the stomach of a fish for 3 days, just waiting for death. I'm convinced that Jonah did not think he was going to live. But this was God's merciful providence. It may have been a stern and a difficult providence, but it gave Jonah time to come to his senses. He realized that he didn't have a lot of time left, just like the people of Nineveh. And he needed to make right with God. And so he says, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol, you heard my voice. Verse 7 of chapter 2, when my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Well, what then is the way back for us? What if we're behaving like modern-day Jonahs and we know we're running away from God? Or if we're behaving like those sailors who are trying everything in their own effort to save themselves? Or if we're behaving like the people of Nineveh, we're living in open sin. Is there a way back? Well, the answer is yes. And here is where we see our need for the gospel, our need for the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's so wonderfully portrayed in the book of Jonah. Did Jonah deserve God's salvation or God's judgment? Did the people of Nineveh deserve God's salvation or God's judgment? Well, they both deserved God's judgment. They were both living in deliberate sin, and therefore they were destined to face God's judgment and condemnation upon their death. Yet as sinful and as foolish as they were, as much as they deserved God's just judgment and condemnation, God has mercy upon them both and grants them salvation. And this is the reason for which Christ has come, to open that way back to God for us, to call us who have been running away back. He came to take upon himself the consequences of our foolish, sinful choices and actions. He was willing to be sentenced to death and to die so that we might be saved. We're all like Jonah, and that we foolishly run away from God. We're all like the sailors, and that we try all we can to save ourselves, and yet nothing works. We're all like the people of Nineveh, and that we're destined for God's just judgment. Yet Christ comes and bears our foolishness. Christ comes and takes the just judgment and condemnation of God so as to help foolish, weak, hopeless, condemned sinners like you and I. There is a way back to God, and it is through Jesus Christ. Now this morning, I know that there are two groups of people present here or perhaps listening online. The first group of people here are those like the people of Nineveh, or like the sailors. You are living in sin, and you're trying to work your own salvation with your own hands. You have no real desire to trust in God to save you. You may not even want to be here today. You're simply here because someone invited you or a spouse insisted that you come along. Well, allow God by his Spirit to and make you wise. You cannot run away from God. In fact, the reality is this. You can spend your whole life running away from God. And what will you find? You will find that at the end of your life, you will run straight into him. You will run straight into the God you've spent your whole life running away from. God is, as is his perfect justice and his condemnation. But today, God is being merciful to you. Firstly, he's not letting you run away. You're here today, you're listening today, because this is God's way of saying to you, I'm not going to let you run away. I want you to hear about my mercy. I want you to hear about the salvation that can be yours. I'm pursuing you with my mercy and my love. Secondly, he's being merciful to you because he has provided a way back for you. He has provided salvation for you from your sins. He has provided salvation from the eternal consequences of your sins, all through the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. His perfect life, his sacrificial death, and his triumphant resurrection, whereby he proved once and for all he has the power, the authority, the ability to forgive sin, to save from judgment, to give us eternal life in the kingdom of heaven. This is God's mercy to you today. Stop running away from God and instead run towards him through Jesus Christ. For he is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. And he stands ready to receive. Stop running away and run towards him. The second group of people here this morning are those of us who are believers in Jesus Christ. We've already taken that step, but we are behaving like Jonah. And that we're running away from God despite the fact that we know it is foolish. You may be feeling very uncomfortable this morning because you know exactly where in your life you are running away from God. Where you're making that deliberate sinful choice whilst ignoring the consequences. Or perhaps like Jonah, those consequences have caught up with you now and it's painful. Bring sorrow and grief. And again, maybe you feel like you are like Jonah in the belly of that fish, under the discipline of God. Or maybe, and I would argue that this is the worst position, you're like Jonah asleep in the ship, and that you are still comfortable in your sin, despite the fact that you know it is wrong. God is being merciful. And he is warning you that you cannot run away from him. He is warning you that your sinful decisions and choices will have an impact upon your life, even if you don't feel them yet. He's urging you, get off the boat headed to Tarshish, get off the path that leads to sin, and turn back. Jonah may be the poster boy for running away from God, but he is also the poster boy for how God's mercy is poured out upon a runaway. And I would urge you this morning, return to God. Don't keep running away. Don't be like Jonah, where you run and you run and you run until you run into the consequences of your sin and sink to the depths, hit rock bottom. Don't run and run until God has to confront you in the storm of his discipline. Turn back now. For your Father stands ready. Humble yourself. Seek the mercy and grace of Christ, the forgiveness of the Father, the aid of the Holy Spirit, and set you back on the way to God. We are all guilty of running away from God. None of us are immune from it. And we're all probably doing it in some way right now. We're foolish to think that we can actually do it. And we're just as foolish to think that we can suffer, that we can avoid suffering any form of consequence. We cannot run away. We cannot escape. We cannot avoid God. Therefore, let us learn from both Jonah's folly and wisdom. Let us examine our lives and discern how and where are we running away from God. And then let us humble ourselves and return to God. Let us pray together. Our gracious God, how we thank you for the example of Jonah. Thank you that he is a means of your mercy towards us today as you seek to warn us of the foolishness that we are all prone to. Forgive us for running away. Forgive us for thinking we could. And Father, may we do just as Jonah did. Call out for mercy and for salvation. And thank you that you promise us that if we do call out, you will answer and you will grant us salvation in your great grace. How we thank you for this. In Christ's precious name.